So the other night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, I try to stay as asleep as I can, wherever I'm going and doing whatever I have to go and do. And as I was getting up, I noticed these flashing lights. So I went to the window and looked, and there was an ambulance. So I said the ambulance prayer, and then I noticed they stopped in front of the house. I thought, what? So I went to the kitchen to look, and right as I was walking into the kitchen, I stepped in a bunch of cold water, because our water filter leaked, and there was cold water on the floor, and I realized they're just doing something they need to do in an ambulance at 1:30 in the morning in front of my house. They're not pulling in the driveway or anything, but by the time it was all over, I was wide awake, of course. Now, the reason I tell you this is because seeing an ambulance come to your house, if you've called for the ambulance and you're expecting the ambulance, you think, hooray, this is fantastic, I'm saved. But if you haven't called for an ambulance, it's a little disturbing, right? Well, the Christmas story, which includes scriptures we didn't read tonight, the Christmas story has two different kinds of reaction to the birth of Jesus. One is, thank goodness you're here, we're saved. And the other is, I'm disturbed. Now, when the wise men came with their three gifts and came to see the person who, the king of the Jews who was born, they came to Jerusalem, to the capital city, and said, where's the king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. And Herod was disturbed. Herod was disturbed. Because Herod wasn't calling for an ambulance. He wasn't calling for a king of the Jews. He wasn't looking for the one that was spoken about in Isaiah, who would strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and who would destroy the wicked. He, being wicked, wasn't really looking forward to that. He was disturbed. Also, he was the king of Israel himself, as far as he was concerned. Not just Herod, but all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. That's a little more puzzling, since Jerusalem should have been longing for their Messiah to come. But maybe they really didn't want somebody to upset the apple cart. Maybe they wanted to be the ones that said, okay, the Messiah's here because we said so. Not these strange foreigners from a bad country far away. That is one way to react to the salvation of Jesus coming at Christmas. The other is the shepherds. Now, the shepherds would have been a bit more prone to desire a first responder. They were looking for somebody to rescue them. The shepherds would have had sort of a mixed feeling in their heart as shepherds. One is that they knew King David was a shepherd. They knew the Lord is my shepherd. They knew that the priests that were spoken about by the prophet Ezekiel were the shepherds of God's people, the leaders, the people that took care of God's people. They were shepherds. It was a good thing. But the way they were treated day by day is that they were treated like they had the cheese touch. Have you ever seen The Diary of a Wimpy Kid? If you haven't, you don't know what I'm talking about. But it means that they were to be shunned as unclean. And if you were to come near them and be around them, you too would become unclean. Why? Because shepherds were always dealing with blood and dead animals and yucky things that would make a person ceremonially unclean. Another reason why they were not really held in high esteem is that nobody is really sure how much stolen grass those sheep had eaten. You know, were they really in the right places with those sheep or not? You just couldn't tell. Shepherds. So, now the reason I'm describing the manger as an ambulance is because of the Greek word sozo. It's the word for being saved, salvation. The angel said, to you today in Bethlehem is born a savior, a first responder, a sozo. Sozo means to be rescued from danger, to be saved in this Greek word means to be rescued from danger, to be brought to health, to be made whole. And that's what a first responder does. If it's a police officer, they might rescue from danger or rescue the public from danger. A firefighter or an EMT might stabilize you as a patient. I have a cousin I just talked to a couple nights ago to wish him a Merry Christmas and see how he fared in the earthquake. They had an earthquake in his town near Eureka, California. And I talked to him and I talked to my uncle he got an award, another award. He's a police officer. He got another award recently because he saved two lives. One, he, on his own accord, bought a patch to stop bleeding. And a guy had a knife wound and blood was just shooting out of it. He was going to be gone quickly. And he ran to the car, put this patch on him, and saved his life. It wasn't supplied by the police department. He just took it on himself to have it ready. The other was a one-year-old baby that got into the medicine cabinet and overdosed, and he did CPR and mouth-to-mouth, and the baby lived. So there he is to save and protect. A first responder, sozo, to be saved. And unto you today is born a Savior. But Jesus is a particular kind of Savior. And if you're not calling for this particular kind of ambulance, you might be disturbed on Christmas. So just picture this for a moment. Look at the beautiful candles. Look at the tree. Think about when we turn the lights off and sing Silent Night. Think about how you have these expectations coming to Christmas Eve. Now imagine one year I really make you mad because there's no decorations, no bulletin, nothing. I just got the chair seated in a circle and I said, okay, we're going to talk about our sin tonight. Welcome to Sinners Anonymous, where each of us are going to say our name and say, hi, I'm Dana, I'm a sinner. And this is how I'm struggling with sin right now, and it's difficult. I really need your help to walk right in this life. Would you be excited or would you be a little disturbed? You might be a little disturbed. But that's the ambulance we have received. That's who Jesus is. He saves us from our sins. He will come back, and he will put this world in order. And if you don't know that the world's out of order, tell me how you did it. Tell me how you avoided the news or whatever you did to make it seem to you that the world is in perfect shape. I have not been successful. I'm concerned about many things that are far away and maybe far off. But we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need him tonight as the one who saves us from our sins. That's who Jesus is. That's the salvation he brings. And tonight I encourage all of us to understand that that is the first priority of our lives, is to be saved by Jesus for eternal life, saved from our sins. And this is an illustration. I called David Rower tonight after the rehearsal. You might remember September was a hard month for us in many ways. But it started with this fatal motorcycle accident out near the airport. And somebody called me and said, you know, this man's Presbyterian, he's looking for someone to talk to. His wife just died in a motorcycle accident. So I went to his motel room and we talked for a couple hours. And then you stepped up to the plate and cared for him and his family in a way that powerfully touched him. And you all have been through a lot of tragedies and you know what he needed. Well, we were talking on the phone, and he told me about something that happened to him recently. He was just watching a movie with his brother and nephews, and suddenly he had a vision, like this was from God. He was unlike anything that ever had entered his mind. And he saw his wife with two people next to her, and they were kind of glorious. They looked sort of different. And they were walking away, walking up to heaven. And she turned around and said, no, I can't go. I have to take care of David. And the two companions with her said, no, we'll take care of him. And then he talked about falling down the stairs in the dark and not having a scratch or a sore muscle or anything, and just several other things. He said, wait a minute, those angels have been taking care of me. My friends, you may lose your money, you may lose your loved ones, you may lose your job, you may lose your status, you may lose your mind. You can lose all kinds of things in this world, but if you have Jesus as your Savior right now, your Savior, if he is your emergency vehicle, if he has showed up in your life, if he is here to save your soul, save you from sin, then you have what you can never lose and what you need the most. So, the end result in all of this is supposed to be your peace. That's what David had. That's what his wife had. That's what he got to see in that vision, is that she is okay. And you and I will be okay when the Lord calls our name. May you have peace. Amen.